Hear now these words. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and his reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." Mary asked the angel, "But how can this happen? I am a virgin." The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby will be holy and will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she has conceived a son and is now her sixth month. For the word of the Lord will never fail." Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you said about me come true." And then the angel left her. A few days later, Mary hurried to the hill country of Judea, to the town where Zechariah lived. She entered the house and greeted Elizabeth. At the sound of Mary's greeting, Elizabeth's child leaped within her, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Elizabeth gave a glad cry and exclaimed to Mary, "God has blessed you above all women, and your child is blessed. Why am I so honored that the mother of my Lord should visit me? When I heard your greeting, the baby inside my womb jumped for joy. You are blessed because you believe what the Lord has said he would do." Mary responded, "Oh, how my soul praises the Lord, and how my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he took notice of his lowly servant girl, and from now on all generations shall call me blessed. For the mighty one is holy, and he has done great things for me. He shows mercy from generation to generation to all who fear him. His mighty arm has done tremendous things. He has scattered the proud and the haughty ones. He has brought down princes from their thrones and exalted the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away with empty hands. He has helped his servant Israel and remembered to be merciful. For he had made this promise to our ancestors, to Abraham and his children forever." Mary saved Elizabeth about 3 months and then went back to her own home. My friends, this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. All right. So as we were making our way towards Bethlehem, we've been looking at some what I call the prequels to the Christmas story. These are the stories behind the stories, okay? And so before we get to Bethlehem, last week we looked at in Jerusalem, the high priest Zechariah was saying prayers in the temple when he got a little surprise visit from the angel Gabriel and saying, "Zechariah, you're about to become a dad. Your wife Elizabeth will give birth to a son. His name will be John, and he will be the forerunner of the Messiah." And Zechariah had his doubts, and the result was he lost his voice. And that's when I had my friend Clinton up here do the sign language, right? While Zechariah had to tell the folks out in the temple who were wondering what was going on. And then when Zechariah went home, soon afterwards, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant, and she went into hiding, seclusion, kind of like a COVID shutdown. And she said, "How merciful the Lord has been unto me." Here was a woman past the age of childbearing, saw her friends have kids and the grandkids, and she thought she was just out of luck, and then she got surprised. Well, now we're about 6 months later, so we're 6 months into Elizabeth's pregnancy. So Gabriel, again, that's the Lord's messenger boy, the Western Union, he pays a visit down to Nazareth. Now, Nazareth is a very small village. Nazareth has a bad reputation. You may recall in John's Gospel, when Philip goes to Nathanael and says, "We found the Messiah. He's a guy named Jesus from Nazareth." And Nathanael says, "Nazareth? Can anything good come from Nazareth?" I mean, that'd be like somebody saying you guys here in Etowah and Englewood, you know, Calhoun, like, Calhoun, can anything good come Calhoun, you know, their side of the creek. I mean, Nashville just had that bad reputation, you know, it was on the wrong side of the tracks. And we have a virgin named Mary. Now, Mary is a Greek version of the name Miriam. That's Moses' big sister. So you may recall how Moses was in the basket and big sister was nearby and she became a prophetess. So that's why there are so many Marys in the four Gospels, okay? There's a lot of them because Miriam is a very popular name. All right, and so Mary, she's engaged to a guy named Joseph. And Joseph, if you go on his family tree, ancestry.com, looked it up, he goes all the way back to King David. He has royal blood in his veins. And so she's at home one day. She might have been sweeping the floor. She might have been praying. But then Gabriel appears and says, "Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you." You know? And it says she was confused and disturbed, trying to think what the angel could mean. And then the next thing the angel says, "Don't be afraid." As I pointed out last week, every time angels appear in the Gospels, they're always saying, "Don't be afraid. I don't care how big the muscles are on your arms. If you saw a real angel, you'd be scared." We're not talking about precious moment angels. We're talking about the real deal, messengers from the Almighty. He says, "Don't be afraid, for you will find favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus." All right. Now, Jesus is the Greek version of the name Joshua, okay? Joshua, you may recall, was the person who actually led the people into the promised land, okay? Through the Jordan River. Now, so it will not be a coincidence when Jesus gets baptized in the Jordan River and starts his ministry. He says he will be great. We call the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David. And he will reign over Israel forever, and his kingdom will never end. Now, all that sounds really great, but Mary wants some clarification about this, okay? All right, I'm about to give birth to a son. I'm going to name him Jesus. He's going to do great things. He's going to be a king. His kingdom will never end. And I feel like Mary asked one of those, what I call a clarifying question, like you hear something, and you're like, okay, so are we meeting this Thursday or next Thursday? No. And she asks, well, how can this happen? I'm a virgin, you know. Because she's like, you mean I'm pregnant now when I get married? How's this going to work? And the angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And so the baby to be born will be holy, and we call the Son of God." You see, with John the Baptist, he was conceived by his two parents, and he was filled with the Holy Spirit from the womb. But with Jesus, as we said a few moments ago when Cadence led us in the Creed, Jesus, while he was born of the Virgin Mary, he was conceived by the Holy Spirit. That verse had nothing to do with biology. This was a miracle. The Holy Spirit conceived Jesus in the body of Mary, and she gave birth to him in Bethlehem. And then she said, "Once more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age." People used to say she was barren, but she has conceived a son, is now her 6th month. For the word of the Lord will never fail. Now, and in some translations, translate that as, "For nothing is impossible with God." Okay, and so what the angel has done is, he's kind of explaining to Mary a little bit. I'm not sure she fully understands it, but I think she got the gist of, I'm about to give birth to a son, but he's not of human conception. This is from a Holy Spirit that I've heard about sometimes in your scriptures. And then this is interesting. You said my relative Elizabeth is 6 months pregnant. I haven't heard about this, you know. Now, this is interesting because now there's a way to kind of test this, right? This messenger said, Elizabeth's 6 months pregnant. Okay, I need to put that in the back of my mind. And so how did Mary respond? Did Mary do like Zechariah's kind of doubt the word of the Lord? No. She said, I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true. Now, that should always be our response when God puts a special calling in our lives. We should say, I am the Lord's servant. May everything you said about me come true. I remember back when I was younger in my Baptist days, and we get these special guest preachers, and they get up at the call to preach, and they go on about how they fought the call. And as I got older, I thought, you know, that's not anything you need to be bragging about behind the pulpit. When God called prophet Isaiah, he said, here I am, Lord, send me. Mary said, I am the Lord's servant. May everything you say about me come true. And then the angel left her. When God puts a calling in our lives, we should not be like Moses and argue for about 3 chapters with him. We need to be like Mary and just take one verse and say, I am the Lord's servant. May everything you say about me come true. You go back in your Old Testament and look, a lot of the people God called, they want to argue with them. Mary didn't argue. She said, I am the Lord's servant. And I think that's why she got chosen. God thought, I need someone who will, when I give them this special command, they'll go with it, and they'll take good care of themselves and the baby, and take care of the baby and child and teenager until he comes time of manhood. So, a few days later, Mary leaves. It says, hurriedly to the hill country of Judea, to a town where Zechariah lived. She entered the house and greeted Elizabeth. Now, remember, Elizabeth has been in shutdown mode, right? Kind of like COVID. She hasn't been outside and about. She doesn't want folks talking about her. And so she's like, Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth hears her name called, what happens? The 6-month unborn John the Baptist leaps with joy. You know, and Elizabeth feels him. And it says, Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, isn't it ironic that last week we were talking about Zechariah, the priest, in the temple, praying, but nowhere did it say he got filled with the Holy Spirit. He had doubt. But Elizabeth, when she heard Mary call her name, she was filled with the Holy Spirit. And it said, Elizabeth gave a glad cry. You know, it's like, you know, and you know how these ladies are when they see each other. And she exclaimed to Mary, God has blessed you above all women, and your child is blessed. Now, hold on a second. These two, as far as I know, haven't seen each other, haven't talked to each other. And yet, Mary knows that Elizabeth is pregnant, 6 months. And Elizabeth knows, thanks to the Holy Spirit, Mary is pregnant. I don't think Mary's parents even knew she was pregnant. You're talking about an awkward situation, okay? And she says, God has blessed you above all women, and your child is blessed. Why am I so honored that the mother of my Lord should visit me? No. And so that's why personally I know some of our fellow Christians and some other churches, they get very carried away with Mary. And I have no problem calling her the Blessed Mother because she is blessed. And I don't have any problem calling her the Mother of our Lord because she was the Mother of Jesus. Now, it's when they get into Mother of God's Mother titles, I'm like, you're kind of stretching it. But they are correct when they say blessed and Mother of our Lord. She was blessed because God chose her to be the mother of Jesus, our Lord. And she said, why am I so honored that the mother of my Lord should visit me? When I heard your greeting, the baby in my womb jumped for joy. You are blessed. Why? Because you believe that the Lord would do what he said. And isn't it interesting how so many times in the scriptures it's all about there's a blessing to those who believe. You go to the end of the story, you got Jesus full grown talking to Thomas. And Thomas says, my Lord, my God. And Jesus says, Thomas, you believe because you've seen. But blessed are those who have not seen but will believe. Jesus is talking about you guys here. You haven't seen Jesus physically, but you believe in him. We said the creed a little while ago, and put your trust in him. And there's a blessing for that. Mary was blessed. Why? Because she believed that the Lord would do what he said. Again, notice the contrast. Zechariah, the priest who's praying in the temple, had doubt, and he lost the ability to speak. Elizabeth and Mary, however, did not doubt. They had faith and believed what the Lord said. Okay? And then another note of irony. Zechariah, the priest who's supposed to come out and bless people, couldn't say anything. So this last week we had Clinton up here doing the sign language deal, okay? Mary, on the other hand, because she is blessed and believed and was blessed, she gets to say something. And that's where we get our first Christmas song, okay? And so this morning, for the call to worship, Cadence led you all in the words of what's called the Magnificent. That comes from the first word in the Latin phrase about how my soul doth magnify the Lord's. Mary responds, it says, "Oh, how my soul praises the Lord, how my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." Why? "For he took notice of his lowly servant girl." Mary was not a rich girl. She was a little peasant girl in a small village on the wrong side of the tracks. "And from now on, all generations shall call me blessed." Now, again, that's why it's all right to call her the Blessed Mother. She has been blessed by God because she believes. "For the Mighty One is holy, and he has done great things. He shows mercy from generation to generation to all who fear him." You remember from the Ten Commandments, right? God says, "I'm a jealous God. Have I visited sin?" He said, "But I bless the generations of those who believe and fear me." "His mighty arm has done tremendous things. He has scattered the proud and haughty ones." And then she does a contrast. She said, "He has brought down princes from their thrones and exalted the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty-handed." Think about this. This is the girl who grows up in a world where the emperor is Caesar Augustus. All his nice things he got by killing people and being a dictator. His puppet king is a guy named King Herod the Great, who's got his throne because the Romans gave it to him, and he's killed a lot of people to obtain it. She lives in a world where powerful people kill and make their way to the top. But now, with the coming of Jesus, things are about to change. God is about to bring down the princes of this world and lift up those who are humble and hungry. "He has helped his servant Israel and remembered to be merciful, for he made a promise to our ancestors, to Abraham and his children forever." And again, you recall last week, when I talked about Zechariah and Elizabeth. Elizabeth means God remembers. Zechariah means his promise. Put them together. God remembers his promise. Mary's tapping that same thought thereof. God, years and years ago, made a promise to Abraham. "Abraham, I will bless those that bless you, curse those that curse you, and through you, all nations will be blessed." And here we start with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, 12 tribes. And then came along Moses, then came along Joshua, then the judges, then the prophet Samuel, then King David, and more prophets. And finally, all history has come down to Elizabeth and Mary, the two most powerful women in the world. Elizabeth is on Medicare. Mary probably couldn't get a driver's license at this point. And yet Elizabeth is going to give birth in 3 months to John the Baptist, the forerunner of the Messiah. In 9 months, in Bethlehem, Mary will give birth to Jesus, the Son of God. And no one knows about it, except for those two. Isn't that strange? The surprise beginning. If you travel back then and say, who's the most powerful people in Israel? And they probably say, well, probably Caesar Augustus, he's the boss, and then King Herod the Great. You know, those are top two, these two dictators. Heaven looks down and says, no, it's not them, actually. It's actually this lady here, older lady on Social Security, and this teenager applying for a driver's license. They're the game changers. Caesar Augustus lived and he died, he's in the history books. Herod the Great lived and died, he's in the history books. And isn't it interesting? The only time we really think about them is at Christmas. They thought they were powerful. Like, no, actually, the only time we think about you guys is around Christmas when we're reading about someone else being born. And you're just kind of like a background character, okay? So my question this morning is, no, do you believe? Mary said, Elizabeth said that, Mary, you are blessed because you believe that the Lord will do what he has said. When you read the Bible and its promises, do you believe the Lord will do this? When he takes care of you, he'll love you. When you pray the Lord's Prayer, do you really believe that? That he will give you your daily bread and forgive you of your trespasses, forgive you your sins? Or do you just kind of think, well, maybe he will, maybe he won't, and I don't know. Well, that won't work. You can't have doubt. Don't be like Zechariah and have this head knowledge in your head and have doubt in your heart. That won't work. I want you to be like Mary and Elizabeth, these two ladies. I want you to have in your head, but also in your heart, that faith, that willingness to believe and do what the Lord has said. No. The world looked at these two and they just saw an old lady and a teenager. Heaven looked down and said, that's the mother of the forerunner, and that's the mother of the Messiah. You don't know what God can do in your life. None of us do. But all of us, we need to believe that the Lord will do what he said. Lips told Mary, you are blessed because you believe what the Lord has said. When she told the Lord, I'm the Lord's servant, may everything you say about me come true. Our prayer today is to say, the Lord, I'm your servant. May everything you say about me come true. And we need to live a life that others look at us and say, that person, he's blessed. She's blessed. Why? Because they believe what the Lord said he would do. Thanks be to God. Amen.